Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I'm not sure what just bloomed in the air, but my allergies have been so out of control. I so badly want to live the life where I can keep my doors open with this perfect spring weather, and I'm able to roll around in the grass outside with my littles and live a life without the gross congestion. But when my allergies are at their worst, I start having to compromise on life. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieves your allergy symptoms and decongests your nose so you can breathe better. This double-action combination of prescription-strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I love that Claritin has an option for non-drowsy relief of allergy symptoms. With Claritin D, you can still make the most of your day without compromise. This means that I can have my windows down car dance sessions with my boys and help with yard work without the symptoms of my allergies popping up out of nowhere. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Real Talk with Rachel Autry, where we bring you conversations to help you delight in life and find joy right where you are. Today, I have my new friend, Tara Sun, on to chat all things control. And all the control freaks and control queens said amen. We're so grateful to finally be cracking open this conversation. Hey, we are all about helping you leave with some practicals that you can apply right now. Moments that'll make you go, oh yeah, me too. And because that's just what friends are for. That's what we say. And we're so excited. I don't know what else to say besides the fact I'm so excited. I have been following you for the past 6 hours, and I can tell you right now that you are probably one of the cutest little patooties on my newsfeed. I love it.
Oh my gosh. Here's the thing, Rachel. I have known about you for a long time. We have mutual friends.
Do we have mutual? Okay, name them. Who are they?
I'm sure we have so many mutual friends. Like, I mean, you had my sisters and friends from Her True Worth on the podcast. Mm-hmm. They're like my besties. Okay. I'm sure we have so many, but I just feel like we run in similar circles. And just before we hit record, I'm like kindred spirits already. Okay. So I'm so excited.
We're in the thick of it together. You have a 16-month-old. I have a 24-month-old and wait, no, I got that wrong. 28-month-old and a 7-month-old.
Okay, yes.
I feel like once they hit 2 years old, you can't really even say months anymore. You're like, they're just 2 years
old. I know. You know what? I used to make fun of moms before I became a mom. I'm like, why are you saying that they're 17 months old? Just say they're like a year. And then I'm like, no, like this actually kind of helps.
Yeah, it totally matters. Yeah, because a 24-month-old is different than a 28-month-old in a lot of ways. Anyways, you get it. You're in the thick of it. I'm like, here I am as I drink my coffee.
Ugh, same.
Does everybody hear it? It's iced today. Yeah. I am like one of those basic people with the doormats. It's like coffee and Jesus. I'm like, but it's true.
I love it. Or people are like, Jesus and coffee. I'm like, you can have both. It's all right. I posted this Instagram reel. This is so random, but I posted this reel where it's like, my coffee doesn't get me through the day. Jesus does, which is true. Overarching theological truth, right? But then someone commented like, but Jesus gave us coffee. I'm like, yes. Amen. Like, I agree. Yes.
Are you a creamer girl? I just have to know.
I usually do like frothed cream, like not like sweetened, like already sweetened cream. I'll do like half and half, or I'm just gonna like expose myself. Sometimes I do like a good like splash of heavy cream, okay? You know? I just live my best life like that. I also do honey, a spoonful of honey. I have been doing honey instead of any other kind of sweetener, and it's changed my life lately.
Yes. So. Honey, and then a little sprinkle of cinnamon. It tastes luxury all of a sudden.
That's like in the next couple months for me when it's fall, right?
Right. And then also I saw something that I really want to try, and then I swear people will move on from our coffee conversation. But I'm obsessed with this idea. I haven't tried it yet. People are sprinkling brown sugar on top of their coffee grounds so that when it brews, it like pulls through the brown sugar. And I'm like, that's genius.
What?
Should we try it?
I think we should try it. I want, I might need to make another pot of coffee today.
I know. I was like, well, that's quite an experiment and I am down to try it.
Okay. So anyways, we're both going to try it and we'll put it on our Instagram stories and we will let everyone know.
Well, right. 1 out of 10. Yes.
Okay.
Let's do it. Fun. Okay. Besides being a mama and all the things, give other people an idea of who Tara is, all the things you do. Just plug yourself.
Oh gosh. Yeah. The $1 million question. I feel like this is the hardest question to answer, is just like who you are.
Isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, it really is. I'm Tara. I go by Tara Sun. Sun is actually my middle name for those wondering. They're like, that's a really weird last name. It's actually my middle name. My Korean middle name because I was adopted. Born and raised basically besides being adopted in Oregon. So very far West Coast. I'm married to my high school sweetheart. We've been dating since we were 17, got married when we were 22. So it was kind of a long road of dating. That's a whole story in and of itself, but yeah, super blessed to like grow up with him. And we have a almost 17 month old boy named Hunter. He is the best thing that's ever happened to us. He is hilarious. He is like a total boy. So that's super, super fun. Yeah. And as far as like my ministry / work life, I am an author. That's really fun to say. I published my first book like 4 months ago, March of 2023, called Surrender Your Story. And the title is Ditch the Myth of Control and Discover Freedom and Trust in God. Mic drop moment that still hits me in the gut like every day. Yeah. How real that is. So anyway, author. And then I also have a podcast and we're like kind of name sisters, which I love, called Truth Talks with Tara. So it's the whole alliteration thing. And it's like weekly podcast where we talk about Jesus and life and just how the gospel intersects with our daily life. And yeah, that's a little bit about me. Yeah, I love cooking, I love working out, love coffee, all the things. Yeah.
Oh, my girl. I'm like, Oregon. Are you still in Oregon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to be like, no, I've since moved. I'm in Atlanta or something closer to me.
I'm going to be honest. I really wish that I, like, all of my friends I've made on the space do, like, live in the Midwest or the South. And so I'm just, like, over here, like, hi, I'm over here. Like, I wish I was with you. No, we're here. And I always say that, like, I would only move, obviously, if the Lord told me, but, like, I would only move if, like, my people went with me. So, like, all of my family, all of my in-laws, everyone is here. And I'm like, oh gosh, we have such a good community here. It would just be so hard for us to move. So yeah.
We always say that all the time. We're like, starting over? That is just like the biggest daunting thing. It would take God to come in a burning bush for us to pick up and go somewhere
now.
Truly,
truly. Especially like with a baby now and having like my parents, like my in-laws, my mom, my mother-in-law is actually watching him right now. My mom will watch him a couple days a week, you know, so I can do this kind of stuff. And I'm like, okay, first of all, if I move without them, you know, we'd be done. We'd be done.
Yes, we'd be done. Okay, wait, so you had a baby, you had Hunter, and then literally like almost to the day, a year later, you birthed a book baby, because all my author friends are like, no, it's a book baby. It is.
Yeah. So, okay, crazy cool story. So March 1st of 2022, I turned in the manuscript, my first manuscript before editing and everything, which is like arguably one of the hardest parts, just like six months of just writing. So I turned that on March 1st and then I pushed Hunter out of my body on March 7th, 6 days later. Okay. That was my goal, to get the book
out.
It's
almost like your body knew, like your body was like, we're just going to hold him tight. And then once you're done, we'll finally take a deep breath, release. Yeah.
Right. And I look back and I'm like, oh, that was kind of cutting it close. But the goal was always to get it done before Hunter, because there's no way I was going to be writing postpartum. Like, first of all, the hormones, and then like the lack of sleep, like, you know, you're nodding your head. You're like, yes. So yeah, that was the goal. And then a year later, exactly on March 7th, which is Hunter's birthday, the book came out into the world. Like, we birthed it officially. It was so fun. It was such a fun week.
Yes. I know, all the excitement all rolled in one. You're like blowing up birthday candles, and then you're also like opening up this beautiful box of books and
I know
able to go on this fun little media tour to talk about it.
It's crazy cool. Yeah. So yeah, and it's so wild that it's been out in the world for a couple months, but it does feel like it's already been out in the world because it's been like years and years in the making, you know?
Yes. Okay. Another thing I hear from my author friends that I kind of want to get your take on.
Yeah.
Mostly all of them have said, it's so funny because I get an idea and I get a message and I have this girl in mind I'm writing for, and all of a sudden I start writing and realizing this is my problem too. And like, you almost get like, you pick a topic and then the topic like attacks you, or you figure out something within yourself. You're like, who am I? I'm no expert in this. Did you have one of those moments too?
Yeah, 1000%. I thought that this book was like one of those things where I was just going to just preach to someone and then like I had gotten over it. But like the Lord refined me in so many ways in this book, writing it. It was actually insane. I daily get hit over the head in the best ways with the message. and it's just one of those things that I really want people to know truly that I'm still working through it. I wish that this book could be like, okay, you read this book, you're going to be free of this feeling of control. No. Like it's a daily thing in Christ. But like this book will make it easier. Like it'll make it more of a natural thing once you realize the freedom in letting God have control. But no, 1000%. And I'm even working on another project right now. And I'm like, oh, this one feels like gross, but gross in a way that like, it's really like unearthing things in me.
Good.
It's really good.
Oh, I'm so proud of you. That's hard work. Thanks. That is so hard work. And for control, I'm like, out of all the topics you could have chosen as a mom, as an author, working with a publishing house, like control, that's so comical because you're in a place where you truly have very little control. I want to dive into this.
Yeah, truthfully, honestly, I was afraid. Like with my literary agent, we were like, okay, like we got to think about this. Like it was a burning passion on my heart to write about this, but we're like, okay, like let's think about this. Let's think about maybe the potential pitfalls or the walls you might come up against with not only the publisher to even say yes, but your readers. Because again, it's not like a book that's like, find your purpose, like 10 days to like finding joy, like all this kind of stuff. It's like, it's hard and gritty, but here we are. So it must have resonated, you know?
Yeah, I know. I love it. And I think this is what's so fun about the podcast world is that I say this, I feel like every episode, but it's just so true. But podcast girls are built different. These are the girls that click play on episodes that are hungry to learn. They're like, I have recognized that, you know, control might be an issue for me. I want to go after it. So they clicked play today on this. And so I want to almost just like release you, give you the permission that you don't need, but you might, that it might be helpful to like go after it and like step on the toes and give the practicals to the girls who are in that place of realizing that's me. I'm a control freak. How did you, I'm assuming this is kind of bad. I'm assuming you wrote a book about control because you've once had an experience of control. So like what was your, like what were a few of those moments that you started realizing, that's me. I need to figure this one out.
Yeah, you know what? This is, again, any good book really comes from a place of it's your whole life, right? Yep. It's not like just a moment. And so I didn't really realize this was a part of my life until I got older, but I realized God was really working it throughout my whole entire life, through my whole story. But one of the first moments that I realized like, wow, I have a problem with control because of the way I handled a circumstance not going my way was when I was 14. I was just about to start high school and I did like 1 week, my freshman orientation. I was so pumped, ready to go. And then the second week, I got really sick and I wasn't able to continue on with my freshman year. No. I was diagnosed with this illness that like usually young people don't get. It's called fibromyalgia. You usually get it when you're in your like 40s, 50s, 60s. It was really obscure that I got it. But I had to drop out of high school for my first year. I was going to physical therapy. Rachel, there were weeks that I was like literally in bed for like 7 days straight. And it was just torturous. My parents were like dragging me to physical therapy because they're like, it'll be good for you. And it was just, it was a horrible time of my life. And I realized that like things not going my way, like me getting an illness I didn't plan for and not going to school and just what I thought was starting, you know, my life, right? Because you just think high school, you think, you know, you're growing up. And
High School Musical, and Zac Efron, absolutely.
That's literally what I was thinking. But seriously, like I had all these ideas and plans and they weren't bad, but I realized that I had a control problem in that, although I wasn't quite ready to listen and surrender. But I realized it because like when things didn't go my way, I was like, God, you suck. Like you're the worst. You don't truly love me. I had this moment where I really questioned the goodness of God for the first time in my life, because up until then life had been super easy, super smooth sailing. So that was one of the biggest moments. But then when I kind of fast forwarded into college, I had, again, I was kind of getting a handle on my illness and all the things. I was learning what life looked like with this. And then I went to college. I got accepted into an awesome college. I was going to do medicine. I don't know if it was like nurse, PA. I hadn't really decided yet, but I was so excited. that have been my passion and my drive since high school, doing all the classes, preparing. And I had this really weird moment with God, the only time in my life that I had this moment where God spoke the most clearly to me that he ever has. And he's like, "You're not supposed to be here." And I'm like, wow. "What do you mean? Like, I'm not supposed to be in this, right? Like, I'm like not supposed to be in this lecture, or I'm not supposed to be here at school. Like, what do you want from me?" And I was in a great house. The whole setup was great. Like, it was just good. It was all really good. And come to find out, I actually ended up dropping out, moving back home with my parents, and kind of working aimlessly, working some odd jobs. I'm like, okay, well, God clearly shut the door on that, but now I don't know what to do with my life. And then he led me into Bible school and ministry and everything that I'm doing now today, which I'm so thankful for. But in the middle of that, it really revealed, like, wow, I did not handle those circumstances well, because I just kind of assumed everything would go my way. And when it right. didn't, the world seemed just to crumble, you know?
You know what I think is so funny? I think that if you could see Tara's son now, back then when God was calling you to it, it would have been so much easier for you to say, so much easier to trust him and yield, because you see the outcome. And that's the hardest part of control for me, is being I know I can be obedient, and I know what you're asking me to do. I should be able to do,
right?
Like, move or drop out or start a job or talk to this person or end my engagement or whatever it is for people listening today.
Yeah.
But like, it's so scary because we fear the unknown. Maybe more than we respect our God's character.
Ooh,
that's really hard. Real Talk with Rach is brought to you by our friends over at Stanley, the drinkware brand that's there for you in all your adventures so you can make the most of your world, whether you're scaling a mountain or watching your littles climb a tree in your own backyard. One of my favorite Stanleys to grab on the go is their Ice Flow Flip Straw Tumbler. They come in 30-ounce and 20-ounce size, and that means they are perfect for any occasion because they are leak-proof, and all the mamas said amen. I grab the Ice Flow when we are headed out for the day of adventures, whether it be a play date at the park, trip at the zoo, or even out to our local airport to watch the planes fly by. With double wall stainless steel insulation, they keep our drinks extra cold for 12 hours. And I'm not even kidding you, ice has stayed in those cups for 2 days for me. I also love the little handle at the top to carry them around. It's seriously so cute to watch Maddox carry around his little Stanley for all of his adventures too. Visit Stanley1913.com and use the code Rachel20 to save 20% off your Ice Flow and other favorite Stanley products today. That's Stanley1913.com.
Yeah, and I think that came down to it. I have a chapter in the book that's just talking about God's resume and how I had grown up in the church. If you're listening to this, wherever you're at in the faith, but if you can relate to me and the fact that I grew up in the church, I grew knowing Jesus, but I didn't really know him. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know his character, like Rachel said. And so knowing who he is, knowing like his attributes, knowing his promises, knowing what he's done in the past, what he's done and what he will do in the future, it all propels us to trust him more with the unknown and let him have control. Because when we've seen who he is and how he treats us and who he is at his core, then it helps us to surrender more, right? But that's a misconception that, or not a misconception, but that's just something that I didn't understand either until honestly, like maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So control for me too, I just want to speak this out loud, that sometimes control for me is me believing that I can do it better. Or like that I'm like, well, I know how I want it to be. And like, maybe I haven't made it completely clear to you, Lord. So like, I'm just going to go ahead and manipulate the situation. You know what I mean? I'm like, maybe you don't actually know the desires of my heart. So I'll show you my desires, which is so funny. I think, yes, that is also another place for girls to land, is realizing God also knows you maybe better than you know yourself. And so trusting his resume, but also trusting that he made you, he gave you those desires and he wants more with them than you do.
Yeah. You know, I had this moment when I was writing the book, and I was writing a chapter on walking at God's pace, and about it's exactly what you're talking about. Like, we can't live surrendered and trust him with control if we're speeding ahead of him, if we're trying to walk at our own pace instead of God's pace. And I just was thinking about how I have often believed the lie in my head that, like, if I had my way, or I'm going to pursue my way because I can get things done faster than God. Like, and that's a real thing. So if you've thought that or live like that, like you're not alone. And I still have to catch myself in the middle of that thought. Cause I'm like, okay, God's timing is usually super slow and he's given me gifts and talents and I have things right in front of me. So I'm just going to like go do it because like I can go faster than God. And I just remember God telling me like during my quiet time, like a year and a half ago when I was in the middle of writing this book, and he's like, Tara, just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should do it. Like, just because you can doesn't mean that I've said that you should. And I'm like, wow. Okay. Like, and for me, for a type A, like go getter, like I am often like, just, I'm going to do it no matter what, whatever it takes. That's my personality. But for me to hear that, yeah, it was really humbling. Mm-hmm.
So this brings up like a story in my mind, and yeah, it happened the other day and I was like, whoa, this moment was for me. Mm. It was one of those toddler meltdowns. Lord bless it. We were in the backyard. We were playing with this little splash pad that my mom got us. So sweet of her. Cute. And we got to hook it up to a hose. And it has these holes in it and it sprays water out. And it's a lot of fun. And it's perfect little activity for a hot summer day here. So we were playing with it. And then my neighbor called me because she could see us playing like 2 yards over. And she said, that's so fun. Like, can we come over? I said, absolutely. I said, you know what? Matter of fact, let's take it to the front yard so all the neighborhood kids see us playing and we can invite everybody. She said, mm-hmm, brilliant. But what does that take? That takes us having to unplug the hose, pause the fun so that we can relocate.
Oof. Oh, yeah. With a little dude. Yeah.
Did not understand the pausing of the fun. He was so upset. I was like, but he was like, turn off. So we can go out to the front yard and we can go play with CJ and Easton, like all your friends. No. Did not compute. He was so upset. And no. I was like, wait. And God was like, this is you. This is you too.
Wow.
This problem and the impatient and like the control and wanting. I'm like, but I have it right here, right now. It's fun. Why do you have to pause it? He's like, because I have something better in the front yard. Like, just trust me. And it was such a moment that spoke to me, but that's the control part for me. And I think it's the control part for other girls too, where like something can be good and God can ask you to pause it or walk away. And it doesn't mean you can't have it back. It's just, he's trying to do something bigger, better, more fun, include more people, like whatever it is for you. And so I think it's the trust, like you were saying, it's the resume, it's walking at God's pace. And just like honestly swallowing our pride and realizing we don't actually have this figured out like sometimes we think we do.
That's so good. I love that analogy. And that motherhood teaches you so much about God.
Doesn't it?
So much. It's so sanctifying, which I was thinking when you were talking, like I used to think about all those things. Like for me, like when I came home from college, and I'm like, I'm a college dropout. I was full of shame, full of embarrassment. And I'm like, okay, like I am going to just try to do whatever I can to get back up on the horse. And it just felt like setback after setback. Like I was getting jobs, but like they were just like what I thought were like meaningless retail jobs that just were filling voids. And I just remember having this realization with God that like none of these things in my life are setbacks. That when you let God have control of your life, that he uses them as sanctification. He uses them as stepping stones to the next thing. And whenever something goes wrong, even a tiny little thing in my day, like my son doesn't sleep as long as I want it, and I don't get something done or whatever that looks like, or insert yourself in a situation, right? I always think, okay, it's not a setback. It's just a stepping stone. Like it's going to be okay. I have to reframe my mind constantly because the moment I believe it's a setback and that, you know, it's just going to ruin my day or my life, like it really starts to just enable me to distrust God. And it just kind of starts to spiral. So like, it's like all mental, a lot of it too. It's just like checking yourself.
Yes. Okay. Let's talk about this. You mentioned a great practical, which is truly like talking to yourself and hyping yourself up and being like, this is not a setback. This is a stepping stone. I love that. Cause I think we can like talk all day long in circles about what we should know, what we should think, and like all these things.
Right.
But it really takes us practicing, literally like putting our body to do something, our mouth to say something, like whatever. So what are some of those practicals you do when you realize control is starting to haunt you again?
I seriously talk to myself a lot.
Yeah, I love it.
And
you go, girl.
I'm getting your freedom to do that today, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, it's one of those things that like, it's almost like a science. You know when people say like when you write things down, it's super helpful for you to remember or whatever? I think that speaking out loud things into your life, not like, I don't want to be like, you know, the name it and claim it. You know, we're not about
right.
that.
But
like,
I'm just woo.
yeah, no, I'm just talking like taking what God says and taking the reality of a situation and just like reminding yourself of it. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm super prone to wander. I am super prone to forget. Mm-hmm. I may like know, but I forget in the moment. And so for me, like say for instance, something's not going my way in a day, or I'm not like on schedule, whatever that looks like. And I'm like, oh, the control is slipping. I have to remind myself like of humility. I have to remind myself that God is in control. I truthfully just be like, okay, God, you know, I don't like, and I just stop and say those things. I also just practically memorize verses. Like one of my favorites is from Isaiah 55. It's just saying that like, okay, God, your ways are higher. Your thoughts are higher.
Yes.
And sometimes we don't believe that. And I'm just going to say that right now. If you are preaching truth to your soul and you're like, I don't believe this though, I'm going to tell you to not give up. And I want to tell you to keep preaching the things that you don't even believe over your soul. Because if you're preaching God's word and his truth over your life repetitively, I'm going to tell you that the Spirit's going to be working in your heart to help you believe that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But I think often we're like, well, if I don't believe something, if I don't believe that God's good, then I'm just not going to like say it and I'm not going to like move forward with it. But like we have to like hammer it into our souls because our souls, like I said, are prone to wander. So just like, honestly, if you're like, oh, I hate this, I don't trust God, be like, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. God, I trust you. Mm-hmm. And then like, God, you say that, you know, those who trust in you with all their hearts will be led, that you will make our paths straight. Like, I don't know. I mean, even just declaring those things. And I just want you to be encouraged that like you can do it and to not give up, even if your soul doesn't believe, because with the power of the Spirit, you're going to, you will. It might take a while, but you will.
Mm-hmm. Two thoughts. Number one, love it. Prone to wander. That's, I grew up in that sweet old Presbyterian church. We had the hymnals in the back of the wooden pews. And that was one of my favorites, old time hymns, is Come Thou Fountain of Every Blessing. And at one point it says, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. And it's so true. I'm like, we are quick to try and go and figure out on our own way. Other thought that I had that I think is going to be a little icky, but I just want to say it. I feel like those of us who like to control also maybe have a dash of performatism. How do you say that? Performism?
Yeah. Performance, maybe. Just performance.
Thank you. Yeah. Am I trying to make up a word?
Yeah, sure. It's like perfectionism and performance in one word.
We like to perform maybe to get what we want. And that's maybe like our flesh and like the first thing that our soul thinks to do. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, if I want to do this, like we were saying earlier, manipulate God. Like I'll do something to impress him out of works, and then maybe he'll reward me, you know? And like, that's your version of control. And it might not look like the icky control. It could look like a, you know, outside looking in, it can look like you've got it together and you love the Lord and you're yielding to him and you're being so obedient, but your motive is to control or to manipulate. And it doesn't look like you're actually being disobedient. You can fake it in this world of control too.
Yeah.
So I want to call that girl higher as well. Say you might just be performing to try to get something or gain something from God. And that is another version of control too. So you're not disqualified from this conversation, basically.
Yeah. And also, like, again, maybe another ick, but like important, because I remember I was in the middle of writing this and I was thinking like, this is really going to hit home for the type A girls. And I'm like, you know what? Like, it doesn't matter what kind of girl you are. Like, we all have a control problem. I want you to think of something right now that you want in your life, or something that maybe, like, we've all been disappointed. We've all had plans go awry. And that just alludes to the fact that we are out of control. And we all as human beings have it woven within our sinful DNA that hopefully you have been regenerated by the power of the Spirit and you have been, you know, invited into God's family and you're a part of the body of Christ. But we still fight every single day against that. And I just like to think about like one of the main reasons why we have a control problem, and its origin story is from Adam and Eve. Like that is our fall. And Adam and Eve tried to control a lot of things too. They tried to distrust God in a lot of ways. I mean, they did. God told them one thing and then they questioned it. They let the enemy speak lies into their lives. And they thought, okay, I want to be like God. It was a control thing. They're like, I want to have the power. I want to have control of the playbook. Okay. And so I don't want to like discourage you and say like, that's kind of our origin story. But I think it's important to recognize that, because if we don't like just confront the fact that we're broken, but then we do have redemption in Christ, then we're not going to get anywhere. Because I'm going to be honest, I lived a lot of my life thinking that I was self-sufficient, meaning I was enough on my own and that I didn't need any help, that I'm not too far gone. I haven't messed up. Like I'm a good Christian. You know, I had all these lies that I thought like, I'm good. Like I don't need God. Like things are going well. Wow. But we got to confront that first and foremost. But then only when we confront that and recognize that, can we move forward and find the freedom that is surrender. Too real? I don't know. I think it's just the right amount of real. I'm going to be real
with
you guys.
That is so good. Yes. Well, it meets people where they are. Doesn't give them the permission to be the way that they are. But I think it like lifts the shame of it and believing like you're the only one that's got this issue. No, this isn't a human issue. We're inclined. We're predisposed to want control. Yep. So like now what do we do with it? Right. I love that. Okay. Another weird thing, this whole dance of control I want to talk about is, I think someone could also listen to this message and be like, so what you're saying is now I just like lean back and do nothing. And I just like let God do everything for me. And I think that there is this beautiful ask of us to show up and to do, but then also to be okay rerouting. Mm-hmm. So I want you to, kind of dive into that. Like for a girl who's easily like, you know what? Yeah. I can let God control. Like, I'm just going to not do anything. I'm just going to not show up and see what happens. So if that's someone's inclination too, how do they justify control, but also obedience?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. And I'm going to say this, the results are up to God. The obedience is up to you. I'm going to say it again. Mm. The results are up to God and the obedience is up to you. The obedience is on us. What we do, God has given us the word. God has given us things to do. It's not our excuse and surrender to sit back on our hands. And that's a popular lie I just want to shut down right now, because people are like, oh, surrender sounds like I'm waving the white flag. Like I'm watching a movie, right? And they're like giving up and they're just like laying down and they're letting the enemy walk all over them, whatever. No, not at all. Surrender is so active. And what I mean by that, Rachel touched on this just before, like when you surrender to God, you're following in obedience, because God has given you a lot to do here and now. And he's given you a guidebook to walk confidently, even in the unknown. But it's also just like, okay, I'm going to make good plans within the discernment and the wisdom that God has given me. And by following his word. But if I feel the spirit tug me, if I hear something from a wise mentor, counselor that's telling me, maybe we should rethink this. If there's an obvious pivot, if something doesn't go my way, we stop right there. And we'd be like, Lord, what do you want me to do? Are you rerouting me? I'm going to follow you in that. Mm-hmm. And it's the key to surrender. And it's more of a heart posture. I think that's the biggest desire of this book too, is there's so much practical to do, but we got to get the heart right first. We got to get the heart right that trusts God and realizes that he's in control. He's better at being in control. And he also writes better stories for us than we could ever realize. And once we do, then when we live every single day, we can be like, okay, Lord, I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to trust you, but I'm going to use my gifts. And like you said, Rachel, I'm going to show up and I'm going to live this life that you've given me to the fullest. I'm going to max out my potential for you in Christ, in the kingdom. But I'm also going to be super yielded when something happens that is not a part of my plan. I'm going to stop. I'm going to be like, okay, Lord, we're doing something new. Okay, I got you. I'm following you. And I think that's what I've learned about surrender. And so again, if you're there, just find freedom in that. Find freedom that you don't have to sit. And also if you're prone to sit, like get up. You got a lot of good things to do and they're not going to happen unless you do it. And I don't want you to miss your potential in Christ, you know?
So good. Oh, so good. Something that has helped me is in those moments that I feel overwhelmed and I need to remember.
Yeah.
God can totally call me to the left or to the right, and I'll go either direction. I can trust him is by keeping a tab, like keeping a running list of all the times that he's said he's going to do something and he's done it. Or when I was really, like you're saying, prone to wander and he still showed up for me. And even like random blessings I didn't know to ask for, and I didn't know that were going to be benefits, but he is just a good dad that just gives us random good gifts. So like keeping a running tab does help us build the resume so that next time he asks something big or small of us, we're like, oh, I can trust this guy. He's legit. you know?
Yeah.
And totally. Not that we have to do that, but it's a great practical. And also the Bible, yeah. Genesis to Revelation, filled with stories of people being like, I'm going to do it my own way. And God being like, okay, well, give it your best shot. And then they come back around and they're like, God, please forgive us.
I might need to like text you later about this, but I was reading Nehemiah 9. I'm going through Nehemiah. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible, but I literally love this. Again, I'll check it with you. You can put it in the notes if you want, because I want to make sure it's right. But I was reading it and it was literally this whole account of what God had brought his people through. And it literally was like, okay, the Israelites were rescued by God, but then they went after little gods and then they didn't follow him in the desert and like, and this and all this, like all the mistakes. But then it was like, but God in the richness of his mercy and grace, like still like was with them and still kept his promises to them. And then it's like, but then they did this and this and this. It's like, but God. And so it's like, wow. Like, I just need that reminder all the time that like, not as an excuse to like mess up and try to control and do all these things, but just like know that like God is so faithful to you. And if he's done that, then he's going to do it again. And that's just who he is. And I just, I'm like, whoo, like I needed that. I needed that.
That is so good. Ugh, yeah. You can trust him. Yeah. And I think that that's like the overarching message for someone who's really wrestling with wanting the reins. You can trust him. Like you can lean in or lean back.
And also faith is unseen, right? Mm-hmm. We don't put our hope in the things that are seen. And that's a really big component to surrender, because you're like, well, I don't see the fruit of me trusting God right now. And it's hard. And honestly, maybe we won't see it. Like maybe there's something you're trusting God with, or you're trying to control, that you might not see the fruit forever or years past. And that's a really hard thing to grapple with, but I do know that God completes what he finishes. Okay. He's just a God that like when he starts something, he's going to complete it. He's going to finish it, you know?
That's right. Oh, so good. All of the messages that was a word moment. That's what it was.
You know what I'm saying? No, I fixed it at the end. Okay.
Yes. No, he will. Like he will be sure to finish it. That's what we're told in scripture. Like if it's not good, it's not done. And if it's not good, he's still working on it in ways that maybe you don't know about. And if it's good to us, it might be better than we could ever imagine if we continue to say yes to him. And that is the goodness of God that we don't deserve, but we get the benefit of when we say yes to him.
So good.
Yes. This is the message that I know us control freaks need. And I say us because I'm there too. Yes. Okay, people.
Okay. Solidarity.
Rachel is here. Rachel is showing up to this conversation because she also needs it. And these questions were coming from my heart. So everybody just take a chill pill. Everyone just relax and know that you are not alone. This is something else. Yeah. And I will also say that because this is an issue with a lot of other women, like maybe find that friend that can help keep you accountable, that when you're like, hey, Jordan, I'm feeling weird again. I'm really like freaking out about this. That Jordan friend can remind you of truth that maybe is harder for you to remember on your own. So.
Yeah, that's super good. Yeah, my husband is that for me because he is totally not type A. And he's like, Tara, are you kidding me? Like, he tells me he's straight. I'm like, okay. Like, and I can't argue with him because he's right, you know? So you gotta find someone like that.
Yeah, especially in motherhood, because Lord knows you don't have control over anything.
Oh my gosh. And that's one of the biggest things. Like someone's like, what have you learned over the last like 16 months? I'm like, you know what? I've learned just to chill out. Like, let me tell you, when Hunter was first born, probably the first 5 months, up until he was 6 months, I was so uptight, like about sleep, about everything. And I'm just like, oh gosh, like he's fine. I'm going to be fine. And I wasn't fine because I was so uptight. I was making myself anxious. So I feel like someday for next baby, I'll be more prepared. I mean, it'll still be a whirlwind, but I'll be like, okay, it's fine.
I will say that is true. This go around, I'm like, you know what? We'll iron that one out later.
It's
going to be okay. Because I have the testimony of Maddox. Like I have the testimony of my first one to give me the like, okay, we will be okay. Like he is fine. Yep. He does sleep now. He didn't sleep then. He does now. So Oliver's not sleeping. He will one day. He's not going to be 18 years old still trying to crawl in our bed. I know that. You know? So, it's fun. It's just life. But yes,
love it.
All good. No matter what season you're in right now, friends that are listening, like I can guarantee you control might be something that you have some room to grow on and work through, because this is us. This is just our humanity coming through. Okay. Yep. One of my favorite questions to ask And I have to know, because I feel like we are kindred spirits, and
yeah,
I feel like what you're about to say might be something that I like too.
All right.
What is something you're loving these days that you have to share with our friends listening? Anything.
Ooh.
Like, nothing's too random.
Anything. I'm obsessed. I asked my listeners too, like, what's a favorite thing? And it's like, I honestly wish we should just like favorites episodes. Wait, we should have Rachel on the podcast and we should do like a favorites episode.
Listen, we do those around here and it's like everyone's favorite.
All right. So, like, I'm going to email you later. Okay. All right. Okay. Favorite thing I'm thinking right off the bat. I used to use this like L'Oreal skin tint on my face. Okay. Yeah. Here, I'm gonna say this. I am like generally clean, but there's some things that I'm like, you know what? I like
right.
it. I'm gonna change. Okay.
I say chewy granola. I'm not crunchy granola. Yes. I'm chewy
or scrunchy.
Granola.
Scrunchy, where you're like not super crunchy. Yeah. Okay. That's me. So L'Oreal, I use this like skin tint and then they discontinued it. I went to Ulta and then I went to like my local drugstore and they're like, yeah, it's like gone. I'm like, dang it. So, one of the Ulta ladies was like, she's like, here's a new thing though. It's like kind of comparable. It's the Maybelline 24-hour skin tint.
Okay.
And it's incredible. Okay. I've been using it for like a week and a half. I'm wearing it today. It's like
she's
breathable.
She's glowing, people. She's glowing.
Also in front of a window, but no. So it feels like skin, but it's also like, it evens out your complexion, but you can also like see skin a little bit, but like you can also hide the imperfections, if that makes sense.
Sure.
And it truly lasts me all day. And I'm like a normal to oily kind of gal in my T zone. I love it. It has vitamin C in it, apparently. I don't know what that's going to do, but I'm obsessed. And I think it was $16.99 at Ulta.
That's what I'm talking about.
I love
that's
it.
That's what I'm talking about.
So listen, we're needing something new. There you go.
I love it. Okay. You know, a good foundation when it covers the great stuff, but like I have freckles and I'm like, I still want to see my freckles.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it kind of allows both. That sounds like something I need to add to my list.
Mm-hmm. You should try it. $16.99. Don't be discouraged because it's kind of watery at first, but like once you buff it out with a brush, it's incredible. Okay.
Okay. I love it. I love it. I know. I'm on that, like, I think I have like three or four foundations now that I kind of swap between because I never thought I was going to be this makeup girl, but here I am where I'm like, they all have different needs. My husband's like, what is that, like, this lineup? What is the net? What house is necessary? I'm like, well, one has SPF. One is just a, you know, I'm like, tinted moisturizer. One is heavy coverage for like events. And he's like, okay.
Right.
You know?
Right. You just don't understand, but you need to. Also, I was going to say Rare Beauty. Have you tried Rare Beauty? Incredible.
I use their blush.
The blush.
Isn't that Selena? Okay. Selena's brand?
Yeah. Selena Gomez. She's kind of the best, right? Yes. No, her foundation, I forgot what it's called, but that foundation is incredible. That's like my heavier one where I wear for events or whatever, photo shoots, whatever. That's incredible. And it's clean. So
We do love. Love it. Okay. I'm going to link all of this in the show notes more. Yay! I feel like, yes, we do need to do a favors episode.
I'm actually going to email you or message you. We need to do this. So.
We do. Oh, you are so much fun. I am so thankful this little world brought us together. I'm so grateful, like uber grateful for the wisdom that you share with my friends today that are listening. I just know they're walking away with more freedom. They're feeling a little bit less stressed. Maybe some weight's taken off their shoulder and they realize they don't actually have to like fit. How do you say it? The square peg in a round hole. I'm like, God has a greater idea. He's building something beautiful and it's worth yielding to. So thanks, Tara, so much for being
good. Oh, you're the best. Total kindred spirit. Thank you for having me. Your community is the best. I had such a fun time.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode with us. It would mean the most if you took 30 seconds and left us a 5-star review in whatever platform that you're listening in right now. It's one of the best and free ways that you can love on us. So don't forget that anything we mention in today's episode, from resources, products, and more, can all be found in our show notes at realtalkwithrachel.com. For more updates, behind the scenes, and fun chats, head over to Instagram and follow us at Real Talk Podcast.